This week, we're going to look back at an episode I did with Martin Lawrence Bullard, the wonderful decorator to the stars, about how he made it in LA.
If you were lucky enough to be in Cher's bedroom and she was getting ready, she could press a button and the gauze would drop from the ceiling surrounding her bathtub, so you could just make out the naked form of her body.
It seems entirely fitting that today I'm sitting in the sumptuous surroundings of the Hotel de Crillon in Paris, as my guest this week is LA-based designer to the stars, Martin Lawrence Bullard. His client list reads like an Oscars party. Sharon and Ozzy Osbourne, Cher, Elton John, Tommy Hilfiger, not to mention most of the Kardashian clan. Welcome, Martin.
Thank you so much.
Now, you went off to the States as a young man to seek fame and fortune as an actor and a model. So one has to ask, where did it all go wrong?
It did go sort of wrong for a minute there, I must say.
How on earth did you end up as an interior designer?
You know, it's a really mad story, I guess, but I came from kind of a theatrical background anyway. My dad had been an opera singer and a performer when he was younger. And so we had a theatrical household going on.
And where were you? Because you're English. You were born
yes,
in England.
Yes, yes. I'm actually part French and part Italian. Conceived in a pub in Dublin.
Oh, lovely. Very Boris Becker.
Yeah, I know what's going on, but I told you it did go slightly wrong. But So we're from Chislehurst in Kent. And I, at the age of 12, convinced my dad to rent me a stall in Greenwich Market on a Saturday, where I would run around taking my bit of pocket money and buy up little bits of china, little anything that was sort of, I thought was pretty. And I would take it back and set it up on my own stall and then wait a couple of hours for the tourists to come and literally sell it to the, mostly to the poor American tourists who were shocked and dazzled that there was this young precocious boy on a stand trying to sell them things. And made a profit. And so it was a fantastic thing. It was sort of my hobby, but I didn't realize that obviously later in life that would really be the education of understanding where things are from, how you put them together. Does it have a hallmark? Is it porcelain? Is it china? Is it, you know, all of those amazing things that you learn without actually knowing you're learning.
Yeah.
Because I was after making a few extra dollars or pounds as it was then. And so I took my ill-gotten gains and put myself through drama school because my dad didn't want me to follow in his footsteps. He thought that that was kind of not the way to go.
So it really was, the dream was to be an actor.
Yes.
That's what you were after.
Yeah, so I was buying and selling the antiques to make money to put myself through drama school. And by the time I was 17, I went to a RADA summer school, and then I put myself into the Lee Strasberg School of Acting in Covent Garden and did that for a while, which was amazing. And eventually the ultimate goal was to end up going to America and becoming a movie star. Well, I went to America and ended up working in a coffee shop. It was amazing, though. It was such a fun time. I was in my very young 20s. And I eventually went to drama school there to the Lee Strasberg as well. Ran out of money, worked in a coffee shop. Actually, literally, I worked in a coffee shop for a minute because I totally lied and said that I'd done it before and worked in one in London, and of course I hadn't. All I'd done in London was model for a little bit and go to drama school and sell ill-gotten gains at the market. So the first day I worked in the coffee shop, I ended up flirting with somebody, left the cup under the machine and blew the cappuccino machine up.
So you were really popular.
Yes, that was the end of my career as a barista. But fortunately, I ended up getting cast in a movie called I Woke Up Early the Day I Died, which was the last Ed Wood movie, and I played Eartha Kitt's boy toy.
Brilliant. Perfect casting.
And so I got on rather well with Miss Kitt. She was an amazing creature.
Was she terrifying?
Terrifying. She used to bite everybody on set.
Literally.
Yeah, I think the idea that, you know, she used to do that, was her whole act. I think she took it to heart and thought she maybe was a tigress or something.
Did she ever bite
a leopard? I think was the only person on set never got bit.
Crikey.
Anyway, I ended up doing this movie in the tiniest role, but I became friends with one of the producers, a guy called Victor Ginsburg, and he and his then fiance came to this tiny little apartment I had in West Hollywood. And I basically had decorated the whole thing from going to the flea markets to sort of the local little antique market kind of places they had. And I bought things like old beaten up leather club chairs and an old fan, and they loved it. And he said, oh my God, will you come and decorate my offices, which are the Hollywood Filmworks? And so I thought, well, this is crazy because maybe I'll go and do that. Not that I knew what I was doing. And he'll give me another movie role. So off I go, start doing his offices. And literally the day it was finished, I got a phone call from a lady called Liz Heller, who's actually still one of my dearest friends now. And she said, I've been to Hollywood Filmworks, I love it. Will you come and do my offices? Well, it turned out her offices were Capitol Records. She was the president of Capitol. And I thought to myself, I've always wanted to be a pop star. So maybe I'll go and decorate her offices and she'll give me a recording contract.
You were quite flaky, really.
Yeah, it was just like all over the
lurching
place.
Lurching from one thing to
all another. Over the place. And so I go and start working for Liz. And remember again, I have no idea what I'm doing. I'm running around with a tape measure that's, you know, not even reading the right measurements. But anyway, I start decorating for Liz, and a month into it, Liz is getting married. And in true sort of Hollywood style, she's getting married at home. And unbeknownst to me, she was sort of Hollywood royalty. Her father was a man called Seymour Heller, who was Liberace's manager for his entire life. Oh. And so the whole thing was very camp and very sort of Liberace-esque in a way. And so I got a phone call from Liz the day before of her wedding that her wedding planner had OD'd.
And probably shouldn't laugh at that.
And what was she going to do? And so I said, oh my God, of course I'll help you. So I ran downtown LA to the flower mart. I bought a couple of dustbin bag liners full of rose petals, a glue gun, some red tulle, and I can't remember what else, but you know, a bunch of crazy flowers. Went over to her house and sort of basically threw up in rose petals. I mean, we just lit rose petals everywhere. And it turned into sort of, I don't know, it looked like a Moroccan harem. But it worked. Somehow or the other, it worked. Other than the fact that the hoopah, which I had no idea what a hoopah was, which obviously is the little sort of wonderful floral temple that you create for a Jewish wedding, did really look like a pair of hooker's knickers. It was wrapped in red tulle and deflated roses. Anyway, she was thrilled.
You'd saved the day.
I got invited to stay to the wedding, and I was sat next to a lady called Cheryl Teagues, who I had no idea who she was.
Other than the fact that she's the most beautiful woman in the world.
Beautiful, beautiful woman. And I thought to myself, well, maybe she was a Charlie's Angel or something. I kind of remembered that name in the back of my head. But it turned out she was America's iconic supermodel. Actually, the first supermodel in the world. First person to ever be paid $1 million for a campaign in the 70s, I think that was. By the end of the wedding, Cheryl had hired me to do her house. She wanted to create a Balinese pavilion in the hills of Bel Air. Of course, neither of us had been to Bali. And I was still trying to work out how to use my tape to measure things. But I somehow or the other got this amazing job. 9 months later, we were on the cover of 6 design magazines around the world. And my career was born.
Fantastic.
And literally within a few months, I had started to work with Sigourney Weaver, and then we had the actor Edward Norton, who at the time was with Salma Hayek, and then I got Christina Aguilera. I mean, suddenly,
just word of mouth.
It was word of mouth, and I was working for all of these kind of iconic stars.
So how you deal with your celebrity clientele? Do you sort of mesmerise them? Is it very simple? I mean, it's very easy to say, oh, you know, these celebs and everything are really tricky and they're this and they're that. But, I mean, are they any trickier? Is it any trickier dealing with a celebrity trying to choose a wallpaper than it would be, you know, Joe Bloggs?
Honestly, celebrities are no different from the rest of us. We all have the same emotions, we all have the same issues, we all have the same love, hate, can't understand, can't see it. You know, we've all got those emotions that come through, particularly with decorating. And so, just the thing that happens with some of the celebrities is it can be even more complicated because their homes have to become their sanctuaries.
Yeah.
Because they can't just go out on the street and, you know, go to Debenhams and buy a duvet. Yeah. You know, it's a whole different ballgame. So that part of it makes it a little bit different. And the fun part of it is, of course, that they love to live out their decorative fantasies.
Yeah. Have you done some crazy things then? What's the crazy
thing? I've done amazing things. I mean, again, with Cher was amazing because she's lived her whole life on the stage since she was 17. And so for her, she wanted to keep living on the stage at home, basically. and so we've created the most amazing sets for her. I've done three jobs for her. The first one, I said to her, you know, what do you want? What's your vision? What do you feel that you would like as your design, you know, destination in a sense? And she said to me, I want to feel like I'm the first wife of a Maharaja.
Fantastic. Don't we all want to feel like that? Every day.
So I went to Rajasthan, bought the facade of a palace, brought it back and built the facade on the interior of her apartment so it actually looked like she was in an Indian palace.
Wow.
And then we did fabulous tricks like in Cher's bedroom, for instance. So Cher likes to entertain in her bedroom, meaning she'll have her friends come up and it sort of, she has these wonderful intimate sitting rooms always in and around her bedrooms. And for her Peter Ter in Hollywood, it was three bedrooms that we knocked out and created one huge bedroom. And I put her bed up on a plinth, and beautiful Indian arches all around. And we decided that there would be no walls. So we opened the bathroom to the bedroom. And I had an incredible carved Indian marble tub in the center. And knowing that we were going to create the seating area for guests to come, we had actually Le Sage Frere in Paris take very fine silk gauze and embroider it in gold thread in these wonderful arabesques. And so if you were lucky enough to be in Cher's bedroom and she was getting ready, she could press a button and the gauze would drop from the ceiling surrounding her bathtub, so you could just make out the naked form of her body.
Amazing.
So it's that kind of decorating which, yeah, you know, is utterly exciting and delicious to be able to do.
Yeah. And I'm sure there are you sort of rooms for shoes and,
oh my gosh, yeah,
handbags.
I saw in the press recently they were calling me the glam room king, because obviously with all the Kardashians and everybody, they've all got glam rooms.
So who how did that relationship start? Who did it begin with?
I've known the girls for quite a long time actually, and there was a crazy guy called Joe Francis who had a company called Girls Gone Wild.
Okay.
Where he literally made hundreds of millions of dollars of filming parties of girls getting drunk and wearing wet t-shirts.
Right.
And so this chap hired me to do an amazing 40,000 square feet estate for him in Mexico. And he became friends with all the Kardashians years ago, and everybody would go down there on vacation. And I ended up sort of meeting the girls then. And then cut to a few years later, Kris Jenner has every year at Christmas an unbelievable Christmas Eve party.
That's the mum. Kris is the mum.
Mm-hmm. And so I was lucky enough to be invited to those parties. And one year, Courtney came up and said, I've just bought a new house. I want a whole new style. I would love for you to come and have a look. She hired me, and then literally a few days later, her sister, Chloe, had bought a house next door from Justin Bieber, actually. And she asked me to go and look at her house, which was hilarious because Justin was still living there.
Oh, God.
And there was no furniture in the living room apart from a giant bouncy castle.
Oh, God.
So Chloe asked me to do hers. And then I ended up doing Chris's and then Kendall's, the model, Kendall Jenner.
Are they all very different? Were they all very... Did they all have their own style?
Entirely, utterly different.
Yeah.
They all have a love of real comfort and luxury in their homes, but they've all got a very different style and taste.
Yeah.
So, for instance, with Courtney's and Chloe's, actually, which was the first time ever that two sisters with the same designer had ever appeared in and on the cover of Architectural Digest together.
And that was one of their best-selling...
It was the best-selling issue ever at that point. Yeah. Yeah, and blew up the internet. Literally, the Condé Nast site went... But so Courtney's was really, really mid-century and very cool and very sort of sophisticated and simplified. And Chloe's was a Moroccan fantasy, but all in white. But, you know, glam rooms everywhere, because that's what they do and they have to have. And the glam room has now become the ultimate must-have accessory in Hollywood.
I think you've been very clever, though. I mean, I think, you know, you never make any bones about the fact that you're untrained or whatever, but it's, I mean, this is not an easy thing to do. But where do you think your talent for... Is it an eye for detail? Is it an eye for...
I love a challenge. And I love being challenged by my clients and having to come up with something that's completely original or something that I haven't done before.
Yeah.
The no training thing, I think, has actually been kind of amazing because it stops you from knowing what the downfalls can be.
Yeah. So it doesn't... So you don't... You're never scared of trying anything because you don't...
Yeah, because nobody's told you it's wrong.
Yeah.
Or it's the wrong way to do it. Or how difficult it is. Exactly. Yeah. So I think that's been really great that I've managed to sort of just fearlessly forge ahead. One of the great things that I was lucky enough as a child to travel enormously with my parents. And I always say to all of these kids, these students that come up to me and say, oh, you know, where should we go next? What should we do? How do we open our business? What school should we go to? I say, you know, the best thing you can ever do for yourself is to travel.
Yeah.
Is to go take 6 months, 6 days, whatever you can do, travel, see new places, meet new people, smell new smells. Everything that you see around you should be food for the soul. It should be food for your creative energy. It's the way we learn. It's the way we understand new things, cultures. All of those little things end up being the inspiration to good design.
Yeah.
And it's how you put it together then for people.
Yeah.
And so to me, travel is the biggest education that you can have. Not just for design in many ways, but for design definitely. And honestly, if you keep your eyes open... I'm looking now, obviously we've had this delicious breakfast. The colours on the table, you know, the beautiful sort of oranges that are coming from the croissant and the green from my supposedly healthy juice to combat my butterfilled eggs. But the idea of these colours together, suddenly you could almost create a room around it. You know, you can take inspiration again from anywhere.
Yeah.
So it's just about keeping your eyes open and taking that in and then storing it somewhere in the back of your brain that you can pull it out when you need it.
Yeah, brilliant.
It's I don't know, it's just a fun thing. I just love what I do. And you know, when I need the skills and when I need the architects and the draftspeople and someone that can really measure with a good tape, I have staff. I hire the best people I can find to do the best job at that.
Yeah.
Which frees me up to do the creativity of the design, and then I have them do all of the the real work that enables us to get an extraordinary end result.
Yeah. And they are extraordinary. We will post some images on Entails so you can see, but also just looking on your website, there's so many beautiful interiors. Tell me what you're working on at the moment.
I'm just finishing up Kylie Jenner, who is the youngest of the sort of Kardashian clan. And Kylie is the world's first billionaire, 21, female billionaire.
Cracky.
And it's been amazing working with and for her because so young, but obviously a lot of money, but a creative soul, a real sort of, she's kind of a genius, actually, she is.
Really?
Yeah, she's made this empire from the makeup business. And I see her, I watch her, she actually does it herself. And so I've created this kind of fantastical home for her that's, it's young, it still feels like you're 21, but it has fabulous things in it. We have Basquiat's and amazing Damien Hirst paintings and incredible, I've had artisans custom make furniture that look like, she has a drip design that's on the packaging of her makeup. And so I had consoles made in bronze that look like these drips, and all of her dining chairs are different shade of pale pink that matches lipsticks in her collection.
Oh, fabulous.
So we've done some really fun things with her and for her. I'm also working, just helping a little bit with a new home for the iconic supermodel Cindy Crawford at the moment, which is really fun.
My husband's favourite model.
I am doing an amazing hotel called the Raleigh in Miami, which is an icon there in South Beach. It's sort of this very famous Art Deco hotel. And Tommy Hilfiger, who's a longtime friend and client of mine, owns it. And so we're creating this wonderful hotel brand for him from that, which is really fun. I'm doing a lot of hotels, which is great. I love the hospitality business.
Yeah.
Because apart from the fact, again, you can create great fantasy, it's also unlike a private home where maybe it's just one family, their group of friends that get to see it. A hotel can have 1,000 people in there a day. And so your interiors get to be seen by lots of people. They also have to hold up for lots of people, but
sure.
It's a very fun extension of brand. And so we've opened one called The Sands in Indian Wells, which is at the wealthy part of Palm Springs. And we have another one coming in Hollywood, which opens soon. And then we're doing one in a winery up in Northern California. And so that's been great. I've also gotten to do a beautiful chateau called Chateau Gutsch in Switzerland, which is an amazing hotel that used to be Queen Victoria's summer home, which was a fun one to do recently.
Love.
But and so we have a lot of really exciting projects. I'm doing the Four Seasons Residences in Beverly Hills, where we're creating amazing apartments right in the heart of Beverly Hills, basically. And that range from 5 to 55 million, in case you fancy one.
Thanks.
And it's great because it's so diverse. But one of the other fun things that I do is I design product. So I have 14 licenses that span things from silver for Christophe to porcelain for Havilland Limoges.
The rug company.
The rug company, which I'm here in Paris for. We've just launched a new collection for the rug company, which is fabulous because I love being associated with these amazing British brands.
Yeah, Cole and Son, those beautiful, beautiful wallpapers.
Oh, thank you. I love
they
that
were
collection.
They were fantasy as well. I mean, that was just superb.
Yeah, I really have had fun working with Cole and Son. Such beautiful materials they use, you know, the finest printers. They use machines they've had for 100 years that give you these qualities that are amazing. So that's been great. I have a lighting line with a company called Corbett.
And they're coming to the UK soon, aren't they?
They are, yes. This is the premiere in Europe that we're doing here at Maison Objet in Paris. And now it's going to be launched all over Europe and England and included. I think leaving the EU, you know, you have to study these things now. So that's really, it's so fun to do, to create product and then to see how other people, designers or the end user, use it in their home, what they do with it. I love that aspect.
Well, Martin, thank you so much. Now, you know, having heard about how hard you work and the sort of crazy lifestyle, I now realise why you are staying in a suite at the Hotel de Crillon and I am on the floor of my son's Paris apartment. But now I'm aiming high. Next time I'm going to be here with you. Thank you very much indeed.
It's been an absolute pleasure. My pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you for joining me. If you'd like to have more interiors inspiration, take a look at countryandtownhouse.co.uk, where you can also sign up to our monthly online interiors newsletter. And if you're flying anywhere soon, you can also listen on British Airways In-Flight Entertainment.